Bibles this evening, we're going to continue on, look at Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. This morning we looked at Joshua 9, and this evening we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 10. I do have to mention a couple of corrections from this morning, just to make sure we're accurate. My kids corrected me. It is Jack Webb that was there as part of Dragnet, and it was Jack Benny in the program that was LSMFT, which is Lucky Strikes Means Fine Tobacco. And it's sad that my kids knew that. And also, they wanted to inform me that Jack Webb says that he smoked at least two packs a day. And so I wanted to make sure that those corrections were out there because I couldn't remember his name, and I also unknowingly tied Lucky Strikes to Dragnet. And so we're trying to be accurate, and although that has nothing to do with Scripture, and that's all that my kids get out of the message. So we'll deal with that this week in devotions. Okay, so but we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. By 1942, the Japanese military had enjoyed almost half a century of military victories. They had had victory after victory after victory. That started in the 1890s. And so for 50 years, they had a lot of victories under their belt. They had been unstoppable since the Russo, as it's called in history, the Russo-Japanese War of 1895. They invaded Korea. They invaded Manchuria in 1931 and defeated their army. So from Russia, they went to Korea, they went to Manchuria. Then in 1934, they went in and attacked China. And they continued to defeat China even during the 1940s. Late 1930s, they attacked China. Then in 1941, Japan went and they attacked, they invaded Hong Kong, they attacked the Philippines, Guam, and other islands in the South Pacific. And they were like an unstoppable army. They handed defeats to the armies of China, Holland, France, England, and the United States. So, in October of 1942, there the Japanese imperial presence was being challenged, as the Japanese called it, by an angry American army. The Americans had landed on Guadalcanal. They had secured Henderson Airfield. It was imperative. This Henderson Airfield was very important to that, the Pacific there. And the Americans had gotten it. The Japanese wanted to regain control. In order to regain control of Henderson Airfield, the key was capturing a small hill that overlooked the field. And it would allow Japanese forces command of the area below in that Henderson Airfield. On the night of October 25th, 1942. The hill was held by 91 determined Marines. They suddenly were attacked by over 5,000 Japanese troops. Among the 91 Marines was a sergeant, Mitchell Page. Wave after wave of screaming Japanese smashed into the American lines. Sergeant Mitchell Page ran from foxhole to foxhole. He would drag dead bodies, wounded Marines. He would realign the machine guns, and he would keep firing. As the Marines manning the guns died, one by one, Sergeant Page would fire a few rounds from one gun, and then he would run as fast as he could to another foxhole, and he would fire it from that one so that the Japanese thought there was more Marines. Hours into the battle, the Marines had basically been wiped out. With nothing to lose, Sergeant Mitchell Page picked up a water-cooled Browning 30-caliber machine gun. And, as many people, even in the 80s and 90s, have pictured, but this was for real. This wasn't Hollywood. Sergeant Mitchell Page, with that Browning 30 caliber machine gun, took it at his hip, and he just started gunning down. The next morning, when Marines reached the hill, they found every Marine dead, except Sergeant Mitchell Payne, or Page, sitting next to his friend, his 30 caliber Browning machine gun. He was sitting just waiting for the next attack. Around the hill, they counted over 2,200 dead Japanese. When I read that, I'm like, now that is the man. Because you know what he was willing to do? He stopped, one man stopped 50 years of Japanese victories. One man. One man stopped the flow. And as I read Joshua, that's what I think of. I think of one man that was saying, you know what, God gave us the land. So let's get it. Let's take it. It's ours. Here in the passage in Joshua, and we're gonna go through. And at the beginning, I want to give a little bit of background here. And then hopefully we can get into some points. We'll try not to be too long, but I'll never guarantee that. I'll try not to be 7:30, okay? I'll be out before 7:38. I know I can guarantee that, all right? But in Joshua chapter 10, it says, "Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, said unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon. For it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Heavenly Father, we'd ask for your help this evening as we look at this passage. Give us the wisdom and guidance, Lord, help us not to take liberties with the Word of God. Lord, it is precious, and we thank you that you have preserved it for us. Lord, we want to honor your word. We want to honor you. We thank you for a place to come together and to hear from the word of God. Lord, all of us are needy, some more than others at this time. But Lord, we're here not to hear from me, but Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. We want your conviction to be evident so that we can change, become more like thee. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in this passage, in Joshua 9, this morning we look at the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites, it's a great picture of a lot of different things. We kind of related it to the devil, but it also can be related to the flesh if you think about it, because our flesh is always wanting to make compromise. It's always wanting to give in. And so we looked at the Gibeonites and tried to give ourselves a challenge, because this is what I love about the Word of God. Joshua was a real man. And you know how the Bible doesn't hold anything back, because in the case of the Gibeonites, Joshua made a mistake. But Joshua didn't quit. Because as you're going to see in Joshua chapter 10, Joshua, in sports themes and sports lingo, he was on fire. I mean, he had his A game on now. And man, I love Joshua chapter 10. Because here, and I think it's challenging to you and I, because here in Joshua chapter 9, man, he made a league with the enemy. But who cares? I'm through with them. And as we talked, as we finished this morning, he confronted the enemy. He looked him in the face and said, you lied to me. Now you're going to be my slave. Go get my water and go get my steak medium rare. He made those guys serve him the rest of their days. Joshua doesn't quit just because, you know what, I messed up. And as we applied it this morning, some Christians are like, oh, I messed up. You know what? Look at the life of Joshua. Brush yourself off. Get up. Confront it. And then see God give you victory. And here in this passage, this is what's interesting. Adonai Zedek is the king of Jerusalem. We know that Jerusalem, I mean, that's one of the premier. If those of you that know geography know that you have to go up to Jerusalem. But what's interesting is Adonai Zedek, his name means Lord of Righteousness. Lord of Righteousness. Now right away, as I'm thinking, here is this Lord of Righteousness, and he's gathering these people together. Right away, don't get all, and then this is good for us in explaining things and in looking at it, interpreting the scriptures practically. The name of somebody or what they call themselves is not as important as what they are. And here is this king. I'm the Lord of Righteousness. No, he isn't. He's just a punk that wants to beat up God's people. And then notice as we went down, who were they going against? The Gibeonites. What did Gibeon do the chapter before? Oh, we're scared of Israel. Let's go make a league with them. And this is what you got to understand. And I think that as a Christian, sometimes we don't understand. The world doesn't understand this. The Gibeonites went to make a league with Israel because they didn't want to get defeated. They didn't want to go to war. And guess what happened anyways? They came after them. And Joshua teaches you and I a very important lesson. And Joshua chapter 3 and 4, and Joshua, I think 6, and Joshua chapter 9, Joshua chapter 10, Joshua chapter 11. You know what it's all about? Fighting. And in this life, you will always have to fight. Don't be like the Gibeonites and say, I'm tired of fighting, sissy. Don't give in to your flesh. The world's not going to quit and the devil's not going to quit and your flesh isn't going to quit until you get up into glory. And what some of us think is like, well, maybe if I make a league, then I'll get out of fighting. No, guess what? There's still, now the five kings come together and say, I can't believe you did that. You guys are strong people. We're coming down there and we're going to give you a whipping. And so here they come. Now what's great about Joshua is he honored his word, didn't he? He made a stupid league, but he honored his word. And you're going to see through the passage that there's some things that are pretty hard. We'll try to keep it short. I got five things that we five lessons because there's five kings. You know what I'm saying? So we got to kind of relate it. I don't know how scripturally that relates, but there's 5 points here tonight that we're going to see. Look at Joshua chapter 10 and verse 7. All right, verse 6 and 7. The men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal. And what did they say? Slack not thy hand from thy servants. This irritates me. Here are the Gibeonites, little dorks. You came and tricked me. And now you're calling me a slacker. Slack not thy hand from thy servants. I know you're my slave. All right, and last I checked, a slave doesn't give the boss the rules. All right, come up to us quickly. Save us. Help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Look at verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Here's point number one. Don't be afraid of the fight. Don't be afraid of the fight. Right away, what do you see that Joshua does? He doesn't even question it. He made a league. He messed up. But that's past. And as far as he's concerned, he made a league. That's my people. You're messing with my people. Swords out. You're dead. Don't be afraid of the fight. Some of you are afraid in your home. Oh, something bad. Sin's going to come. You know what? It is. But have it on with sin. Have it out with it. Some of you playing with it, playing around with it. No, get the sword out. Don't be afraid of the fight. And know what you'll see about this passage? This was interesting to me. Notice it said, come up to us quickly. He was in Gilgal. They're going to Gibeon. If he was going to make it, they had to go 1,500 feet in elevation to get up to Gibeon, and it was a hike, and all of his men of valor knew that they were going to go, and you'll see later that they, Joshua the second time, in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 3, when they went back to fight Ai, he made his soldiers march all night. And once again, guess what he tells them to do? Go all night. And some of you, the reason you don't see victory is you're not willing to put in the sacrifice to see victory in your marriage. You're not willing to see victory in your home. You're not willing to see victory in the church. Why? Because all my ministry is suffering. Sacrifice. Go all night. Don't be afraid of the fight. Fight is on. Let's go at it. Here Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and the mighty men of valor. And you know what you'll find? When you're ready to go at it, go for the fight, I think God always has mighty men of valor that will come alongside. You won't be alone. You won't be alone in the battle. So don't be afraid of the fight. Look at chapter 10 and verse 8. Notice what it says. Right away. And what? And the... Oh, hello. And the Lord said unto Joshua. So first of all, don't be afraid of the fight. Secondly, find God for help in the fight. Find God for help in the fight. Right away. And then we see in this passage that God tells him, fear them not. What does that tell you again? Remember a long time ago, we looked at Joshua chapter 1, we looked at Joshua chapter 2, and in Joshua chapter 1 and 2, I think in the first 10, Joshua 1 in the first 10 verses, I think three times it says, fear not, be not afraid, be strong and of good courage. Over and over. He's telling that to Joshua, and it is God saying that. Why? And why here? He's coming again, and there's five kings coming together. And now, I don't know if it's the king of Eglon. One of them, it's either the king of Lachish in verse 5 or the king of Eglon. One of those two is way back in Numbers, I think 13 and 14, when the 12 spies were sent in, they went and they spied out. It was either Eglon or Lachish. And guess what they were known as? I believe one of those is the men. Wait a minute. Let me look at it. King of Hebron, Amorites, Lachish. Might be. One of them is the men of Anakin, I believe, lived there. And it was giants. Giants. All right, so here is, think about this with Joshua. It's five of the strongest kings. And geographically, Joshua went straight into Canaan, and Jericho and Ai are kind of in the middle. It was a smart move. What he did is he split Canaan north and south. So he comes in, he destroys Jericho, destroys Ai, splits the country in half. And everybody's talking about it. And then he turns around and he says, you're next. All right? These are the southern kings. And the southern kings all of a sudden are like, no, wait a minute. We got to team up. And there's a lot of them. They're strong. And there's giants. Now, what does that tell you? It's what we face a lot of times. It seems sometimes that, man, God, how can I do this? It seems like there's so much out there in the world. I can't even face it. God, you know what I am. I am not that strong of a Christian. I'm not that great of a Bible student. I can't get in the Word. I don't understand this. How am I supposed to do this? And it seems like it's overwhelming. What do you got to do? Find God to help in the fight. And guess what? God will come alongside. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Why? I've delivered them into your hand. I have delivered them. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. You don't have to worry about it. It's God's fight. Let's go to verse 9. Joshua in verse 7 ascends from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, all the mighty men of valor. The Lord says unto Joshua, fear them not, for I've delivered them in thy hands. Look at verse 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly. That means quickly. I don't know if you knew that. And went up from Gilgal, went all night. So don't be afraid of the fight. Find God for help in the fight, and then just get at the fight. Get at it. Some of you dilly-dally around. Well, I know this might be a problem. I don't, I'm not sure. You know what? Now get at it. Deal with the sin in your home. Deal with the sin in your own heart. Do it suddenly. Go all night if you have to. Sacrifice so that you can be right. Get at the fight. There's two thoughts in here. You see that he did it suddenly. And suddenly means that he was willing to get at it. He was willing to not just say, you know what, I've got to have everything in place. No, you know what, the fight was on, and sometimes you got to get at it. And then secondly, you see that it was all night. And the reason, we already touched on this some, the reason some of you never experience victory is you're not willing to sacrifice. You're not willing to gut it out. You know what? When you're in a fight, you're going to get hurt. Do you understand that? You're going to get hurt. Tell me a war where there wasn't injuries. Tell me a war. There are injuries. You will get hurt sometime. But do you know what I have? I have Jesus, the great physician. I have Jesus that'll come with the balm of Gilead. And he'll soothe my sores. He'll put salve on my wounds. The enemy, oh, they spit on their own. You cross over and you want to join the devil's crowd, see what they do to their injured. They leave them off to the side. I'll forget them. Oh, but not my Savior. My Savior's not going to leave me that way. So I'm going to get at the fight. I'm going to sacrifice. So I'm not going to be afraid of the fight. I'm going to find God's help for the fight. I'm going to get at the fight. Look at verse 12. Now actually, let's start in verse 11. Okay? Verse 11 first, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel. I love this. And we're going in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord, look what he did, cast down great stones from heaven upon them. Now, when you get at the fight and you're trusting the Lord for the fight and you're not afraid of the fight, man, when God steps in, I mean, you talk about, these weren't just heavenly arrows. I mean, holy cow, heavenly boulders, Batman. I mean, they're just coming down, they're raining down on them, thumping their mouths. And you'll notice the heavenly shots, there's no friendly fire. There's no friendly fire. It's unbelievable. Man, when those people up in heaven, when they throw down, they hit every time. Because you read of no Israelite man like, ow, stop that. You don't read it. Man, God steps in, and I don't know what it was. I mean, it could have been, well, I think it says hailstones. Maybe it doesn't. It actually doesn't. It says stones upon them from heaven. Oh, there it is. They were more which died with hailstones. All right, now, in America, I looked this up. I think it was in 1970, the largest hailstone was recorded in Kansas. And that's a good place. It should have just destroyed it. All right, maybe that's why it's flat. I never thought of that. But the hailstones in Kansas, the circumference of one of the hailstones was 17.6 inches. Now think of that circumference, right? Diameter is this way, right? All right, so circumference. But 17 inches, that's a little bit, that gets kind of big there, okay? All right, and it weighed almost 2 pounds. All right, so I don't know. I'm thinking because it's God. He was like, you know what? I know in Kansas, I'm going to do that in 1970. So I'm thinking I'm going to throw down a little bigger. But can you imagine? I mean, here's this hailstone coming down. I mean, maybe it's 20 inches, you know, and from heaven to, I don't know the velocity. I'm thinking it picks up speed. All right, I'm thinking if you're throwing it down from heaven, it's picking up speed. So I'm thinking that some of their heads just went to split. But look what God does. But look in verse 12, and we don't have... Well, that's what I'm saying. I wanted to pause there because to me that's just amazing what God does. But look at verse 12. And this is my point here. Then spake Joshua to the Lord, and the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel. Now this guy must have had one large voice. So don't get on me, you know, some of you ladies, you know, with my large voice. Because I have a microphone, okay? I mean, Joshua, you wouldn't have been able to handle it when he yelled. Okay, because it said all of Israel heard him. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, hey, moon over there in the valley of Ajalon. Look at verse 13. The sun stood still. The moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a hold. I mean, notice when it almost seems like the sun was scared of Joshua too. It's like, yeah, all right, hey, listen, Josh, I'm all right. You know, I won't deal with you. All right, I'll stay still right now. Now, and there's a whole great debate here. The atheists love this. They say, oh man, that how ridiculous. You know what's ridiculous? That God gave you a brain. That's ridiculous. I can't believe that God is so merciful that he would hand you a brain. I can't believe it. And that he allows you to walk. But you know what? My God, he can do anything. He can do anything. But notice verse 14, and there was no death. Come on, atheists. God even gave a qualifier if you knew your Bible, dummy. He said, this was an exception. There was no day like that before it or after it. Notice what it is, though, that the Lord hearken unto the voice of a man. Don't be afraid of the fight. Find God for help in the fight. Get at the fight. Don't be afraid to ask for miracles in the fight. You know, that just... We've experienced that as church. There's no reason Pat should be sitting with us. But we went to God. I remember when Joe, he didn't even call me. Where's Joe at outside? Didn't even call me, sends me a little email. Hey, by the way, we got to get inspections 7 weeks. It's unbelievable. I mean, how are we going to do that, God? I remember talking to Joe. I said, we got to go to God. I don't know what to do. I talked to the staff this week. I said, which kids do you tell we can't pick up? I don't know what to do with it. And even I know, I asked Joe and I, we said, we just got to pray. We got to ask God for wisdom. And is it possible that, God, could you just move this mountain? Can you just get it out of our way? Can you, sun, stand still? You know what? God gave Joe an idea. He called me up and he's like, you know what? Got an idea. I was like, man, that sounds really stupid. Sounds just like the sun standing still. But you know what? God did it. Because in the middle of the battle, it seems sometimes unbelievable what's going on. And you're saying, you know what? Stand still, son, because I'm going after them and I'm giving these guys a beatdown. And I need some light, so give me some light. You know what? Son's like, whoa, you know what? I'll be shining on you. I'll just give you. And you know what's interesting is Joshua didn't get all cocky. I was talking with Pastor Parrish about this afternoon. Joshua didn't get all cocky and say, you know what? Hey, just so you know, I'm the man that son stood still for. Just so you know. I mean, you don't see it anywhere else in the Bible. There is no trophy in Israel. I was there. I mean, Pastor Vogelin's been there a lot more than I have. And I have not seen the trophy that was like, yeah. Oh, that's Joshua there on top of there. That little son there. Yeah, because we just kind of worship Joshua because he's the man. He's the man. And they bronzed his finger. It's like, yeah. Like, hey, Joshua, this guy over there. Hey, kid. Like, yeah, man, there's something about it there. You got it. No, he knew what it was. But what's amazing to me, and this is what I think you and I don't understand. If you're right with God, and Joshua, what did we see in chapter 9? Joshua made mistakes. He wasn't perfect. And you and I aren't perfect. We make mistakes. But you get rid of it and you confront it and you deal with it. You put that behind you and you're on top of it now. And now in the middle, that's why I love Joshua chapter 10. You would think Joshua would be like, oh, whimpering. He's fearful. He's kind of limping down the road. No, he's in the middle of a battle and he looks up and he says, stand still, son. And some of you in the middle of the battle, be bold. Be bold. What you'll find is God will honor it. He'll honor it. You want something in that ministry, in that nursing home, and it's burdening you. Be bold in the fight. Man, some of you, your children, you know it. It's a burden. I've talked with some of you, and it breaks your heart. Get up in the fight. Don't be afraid. Ask God to help. And don't be afraid to ask God to move the mountain. Don't be afraid for God to ask God to say, man, do this impossible thing. But you know what will happen? Sometimes. I'm not saying, and it's, you'll notice here, we are not saying, and this is what some people do. Some people go into the power of positive thinking. I'm not saying that in this text. Joshua needed the sun to stand still. You don't need $1 million. Oh, you don't need that. I do. All right, no. Well, you don't need. Yeah, there's some things you don't need. It's out of your selfishness and covetousness. No, he was fighting for a cause. It's not selfishness that Joshua's like, God, I just need this because I want my name in future lifted up. No, Joshua didn't care about that. He knew what he was. Man, I messed up. But you know what? Right now, these Gibeonites, I got to honor my word and I got to honor God because my vow is with God. And God, I'm fighting for you. So give me some light. Don't be afraid to ask for miracles in the fight. This is interesting. There's an Icelandic fishing captain. Eric, don't even say it. Sigurdur, I'm not even going to say that I was reading this week. Although I was. There was an Icelandic fishing captain, Sigurdur Peterson. He's known as the Iceman. Not the mass murderer. All right, I know some of you, you know, you're kind of sick in your reading material. But I'm not talking about that one. This was an Icelandic fishing captain. known as the Iceman because he has no fear of anything. One day, 2003, on a beach in Kumeet, in eastern Greenland, he was watching his fishing crew as they stood in the shallow water and they were processing a catch because they were fishermen. He was the captain. Suddenly, Peterson looked out and he saw a shark fin in the water. The predator was attracted because they were cleaning up all the blood and the guts and all that, and that shark was attracted to that. The deadly killer turned and he headed for Peterson's crew. The Iceman was not about to allow his crew to be attacked by a shark. True story. The captain dashed into the water, grabbed the 660-pound shark by the tail. He wrestled it up to the beach and somehow pulled out his knife and stabbed it to death. Now that is the guy I want on guard duty. You know what I'm saying? We'll open up the doors. Say, anybody crazy, come on in. Iceman, right there. Iceman. You know what? He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of the fight, was he? And he didn't even think about it, but that's kind of miraculous to kind of grab a shark, wrestle him down, stab him to death. But you know what you'll find? You'll find miraculous things that'll happen in your ministries, in your family, in our church. When we're in the fight, we're in the battle, and we look up and we say, hey, God, you got to do this. I want to keep at it. And God says, all right, I'll do it. That's our God. Because the atheist can mock. The atheist can scoff. And they have done that for thousands of years, hundreds of years. They've scoffed at our Bible. They've mocked it. We'll put it under. We'll stop it. And guess what? Our Bible's still here and they're dead. Because that's our God. Don't be afraid of the fight. Find God for help in the fight. Get at the fight. Don't be afraid to ask for miracles in the fight. Look at Joshua chapter 10. I think I lied to you. One, two. I missed some of my points here. I numbered them wrong. Oh, my bad. All right, but Joshua 10, verse 16. I'll go quickly here, okay? I have actually 6 points. Verse 16. But these five kings fled. That right there says it all. Hey, Lord of righteousness. Hey, Lord of righteousness. Where are you at? Ah, I am the Lord of righteousness. Ah, I love that. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave. And it was told Joshua saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. Joshua, look at verse 18. Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. Look at verse 19. Stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies. Don't be afraid of the fight. Find God to help in the fight. Get at the fight. Don't be afraid to ask for miracles in the fight. Ask for wisdom in the fight. You know, if it was me, man, you stinking Lord of righteousness. I'm through with you. Poof! Hang it up. Now you know what? Roll stones on it. That's our fight. Ask for wisdom in the fight. Know your priorities. His priorities was the troops and to beat them down. And man, he went after them. He slaughtered them. And then he came back and he said, now it's time to deal with you five wimps. Because really, think of the wisdom there. If they're running away into a cave, I don't think they're a threat. God gave Joshua that wisdom. In the middle of your battle, God will give you wisdom on what to do. You may not know 6 months ahead of time, but in that fight, what do you got to do? Ask God for wisdom. He gave it to Joshua, didn't he? I mean, I've been slitting their throats. Yeah, let's do it. But instead, he cages them and then goes and comes back and deals with them. And that's what we see in verse 21. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. Oh, look at that. None moved his tongue. None moved his tongue or it had been cut out. That's in the Hebrew. Against any of the children of Israel. Why? Because he just beat the snot out of you. I can't hear. What was that? Little tongue? Huh? What were you saying? But there was peace. But then said Joshua, you know what? Is there something back here at Makeda here? Man, doggone it. Man, I'm hearing something. What did we do here, guys? I can't remember. Oh, the cave! Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave. Bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so. But notice, verse 24, and it came to pass when they brought him out, notice Joshua called for all the men of Israel, said the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they put their feet upon the necks of them. So what do we see? Don't be afraid of the fight. Find God's help in the fight. Get at the fight. Don't be afraid to ask for miracles in the fight. Ask for wisdom in the fight. And then finish the fight. Hey, come here. Hey, quit crying. I'm going to chop your head off in a couple minutes. All right? Do you want to be remembered with tear-streaked face? Or do you want to look tough? Now get over here and put your feet on their neck. That was a sign of submission. Make your enemy submit. Your flesh, put it under. Isn't that what God tells us to do? Isn't that what Paul said? I bring my body under subjection. Don't whine. No, God is there. And we go back again. Did Joshua fail? Yes, he had errors. He was imperfect. But he wasn't dwelling on that. Because that's not where his strength lied. His strength was in Jehovah. Because Jehovah said, fear them not. Don't be afraid. As a church, we're supposed to be afraid of our community, afraid of the bad things that are going on. No! God wants us to be in the fight. He wants us to be aggressive, and sometimes we got to just get at it suddenly, and we might have to go all night, but do it. And then in the middle of the battle, it may be that you're weary, it may be that the sun's going down, then look at the sun and hold it steady. And then be wise as you battle, and then finish that battle. Our seventh president was Andrew Jackson. Now, Andrew Jackson's, I don't know, this is always what I've thought of Tennessee, but he was kind of illiterate. Sorry. But he couldn't spell. He was known as being a very bad speller. In fact, he had a nickname that was called Old Correct, O-L-L-K-O-R-R-E-C-T. And he used to sign that Old Correct on some documents, and that's where we get the term okay. Because towards the end of his presidency, sometimes they'd bring something for his approval, and he would just write okay. So I just threw that out there because he was dumb. But President Jackson, there's some other things. There was some stamina he had. Richard Lawrence hated President Jackson. I don't know if it was because of spelling his name wrong, different things like that. So he planned a way to assassinate him. It's probably President Jackson couldn't have spelled. But one day in 1835, he was armed with two single-shot shotguns. Richard Lawrence was. He was concealed himself among the people that were trying to greet President Jackson, and they were saying hi. He came out, and he pulled one out and went, and it fired a blank. He threw that one, pulled the other one out, and it fired a blank. Andrew Jackson, though, turned to him, ran at him, threw him down, and started beating him down with his cane. And then he was arrested. I'd hate to see today what that would happen. Stop it. All right. Well, what did he have? He had some grit, didn't he? He's like, you know what? You jerk. Trying to shoot me? But some of you know, the devil shoots at you. Now, why do you think he's taking pot shots at our church? Maybe because we're doing something for God? Maybe because we're seeing souls saved? Maybe because we're trying to see people escape from the fires of hell? And we're trying to disciple them, and we're trying to do what's right. We're trying to be pure. We're trying to be right at it. And guess what? The devil's going to fight us. And the king's going to gather together, and the Lord of righteousness, even the angel of light himself, will come, and he'll get all of his troops. And man, there are giants out there. You got the CEO of Apple, you got this guy, and you got Soros, and you got all these. They got so much money. How can we make it? Well, just he that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And our Savior comes and said, hey, fear not. Because guess what's going to happen in this life? You're going to have fights. And you're going to have battles. And sometimes you're going to make a mistake like we saw this morning. Because you're not perfect. But brush yourself off. Get up and head to Joshua 10. And in Joshua 10, get at the victory again. Because God wants us to see his miracles in the battle. It still amazes me that the sun stood still for Joshua. And it amazes me that God says, you know what? Man, Joshua, those swords. Hey, guys, come on over here. Unreal. And in the passage, it said that the people that died from the hailstones were more than those that died from the soldiers. You know what you'll see? All of a sudden, poof, 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 poof. Man, I didn't shoot him. Did you shoot him? It's God. Fear them not. Ask God to help you to be victorious.